السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم. وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها إلا ذو حظ عظيم. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen over the receivers. We were discussing last week a very important subject, and that is anger. And I mentioned that how anger is the major cause of the large number of marital problems and the large number of breakdown of marriages, the large number of talaqs that are taking place in our society. The major cause is anger. Of course, whether that anger was justified or not is another story altogether. Sometimes the wife that is at fault, she has provoked the husband, or she becomes stubborn, arrogant, or she says such things which makes the husband angry, and then the husband in his anger gives a talaq. Sometimes it is the husband who is at fault, that over trivial things, little thingy things, he blows his fuse, he loses his temper, he gets angry, and then he says such things or does such things which causes marital problems and breakdowns. So who is at fault and who is not at fault, that is not the issue that we are discussing here. What I am saying is that whether the person was justified in his anger or not, but when you are going to give vent to that anger, then it is going to cause problem. So the person has to look at the broader picture. He has to look at the end result and the consequence of that anger, what it is going to lead to. Will it bring any kind of happiness? Will it bring any kind of satisfaction in his life? And after he has given vent to that anger, did he ever feel happy? A sensible person, after he has expressed his anger and he has done things which madman does he feel happy? Because when the person is angry, at that time Shaitan takes control of him. And Shaitan says that at that time I play with that person like how child plays with toys. In anger, says, I play with him like how a child plays with a toy. That is how I play with this person who is angry. At present we know that around the world there are many, many incidents that are taking place and which automatically causes us to get angry. We begin to boil and we want to give vent to our anger, our frustration. And many a times that anger and frustration is justified, but we do not see the consequences of that giving vent to that anger, that what it leads to. Who doesn't know what is happening in Palestine? And who doesn't know what is happening in England and in America and other parts of the world now? There was a time when the newspapers never ever had a word in the newspapers or in the magazines, in the media. You never heard words like madrasa and khanqa and tabligh and Islamic jihad. All these type of words never appeared. But now all these type of words are used to ridicule, to mock, to tease the Muslim ummah. Now once again I repeat that the anger can be justified, but we have to see that where do we give vent to this anger and in which form. So these incidents which are taking place, they are making us angry and they're making a lot of people angry, but then look at the consequences of it. Recently I was in one place and there said the father and his two sons and the mother, they were discussing on the dinner table what is happening around the world, and especially the harassment and the suffering that many innocent people have to endure at the hands of the oppressors, and that what are we doing about it, and what should be our position on these bombings which took place in England, and on the suicide bombers or martyrdom, whatever you can call it. So what should be our position? Are they truly martyrs? Or will we say that they have done injustice because they blew up a bus of innocent passengers? Now on these issues there was an argument. Now, in that argument one of the sons got up and he wanted to give a punch to the father, because the father had a different position on this whole issue. So when he tried to punch the father, the other son caught the hand. They started fighting. The wife intervened, he gave the wife talaq. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So you can see what our anger is leading to. These are not stories that I am telling you. This is what our anger is leading to. Now there can be many different opinions. They say we must have just one opinion. So if we are going to wait for that one opinion, then we will go on fighting. So we'll say there are different views, different opinions, whichever alim, whichever mufti, whichever learned scholar you truly believe to be a true and sincere guide, and is not motivated by greed or money or name or fame, then you follow that mufti. But why fight in this manner where it's leading to talaqs and fights and arguments? So this anger is a very dangerous thing. It's a weapon which we are using incorrectly. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that if a person is made to get angry and he does not get angry, then he's a donkey. If the person is made to get angry and he doesn't get angry at all, there's no such thing as anger in him, then he's a donkey. He's a human being, so he will get some kind of anger. One is to get angry, and the other is not to give vent to that anger in the wrong place. So he says he's a donkey if he does not get angry. But when the person says, I'm sorry, make me maaf, now if he doesn't forgive, then he's a shaitan. So if he doesn't get angry, he's a mule. But if he's asked to forgive and he doesn't, then he's a shaitan. The anger that comes very little and delayed and goes away quickly, there's nothing wrong with that. And even if the person is very angry, but he digested that anger, he swallowed that anger, because those words that the person has used, the person must just think that they are not stones that really hit him. But by his keeping quiet and not responding, then it will save the person from so many different kinds of problems. Hazrat Sulaiman radiallahu ta'ala, he was sworn at. So he replied that in my Amal Nama, in my book of deeds, there were many, many bad deeds. Of course, these people were not committing bad deeds, it was their humility. They considered themselves as the most sinful ones on the surface of the earth because of the azmat of Allah Ta'ala, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, and looking at the bounties and ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, and not being able to do justice in the true sense of the word with ibadat, zikr, tilawat. So that's why they considered themselves as sinful. But there was no question of them filling up their book of deeds with sins. But he said, nevertheless, he says that those sins that were there, by this swearing of yours, my sins got reduced. That's all. Hazrat Shabi radiallahu ta'ala, rahmatullah alayhi, he was sworn at and called all kinds of names and abused. So he said, no problem, because there is still a pul sirat that I have to cross in the akhirat. On the day of judgment, I still have to cross pul sirat. If I am successful in the crossing of that pul sirat without falling into the fire of hell, then all your swearing words are of no consequence. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, a person swore him. Now look at the type of people that are being sworn. They are not ordinary people. Companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So he was sworn. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala told his servant, he said, take this man outside and go and ask him that does he need anything? Is there a need that he has of anything? Then fulfill his need. Give him as much as he requires from my treasury. That is what he got in return. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was taking a walk from the masjid. A person came out and started swearing him. Now what were they swearing over? Because he had given some ruling according to his research of the Quran and the Sunnah, he had given some ruling. Now that was not acceptable to this person. So now he started swearing. And yet he was such a great imam. So he continued walking without responding. When he arrived at his doorstep, then he turned around and he told him, is there anything more that you have to say? Then complete it, because I want to go into my house. If you have anything more to say, then complete it, because I have to go into my house now. Now what will happen to that person's anger after that? On one occasion a person came and to agitate him and irritate him and make a mockery of him. He came and he said that I want to get married to your mother. Now his mother was gone very old. Now he thought Imam Abu Hanifa will get very angry. So he said, I want to get married to your mother, who is a widow. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, wait, my mother can make her own decision, so I will go and ask her. If she agrees, I have got no problem. When he turned around to go and ask his mother, this person collapsed and died. Allah Ta'ala took the intiqam. When the person doesn't take revenge, and he doesn't avenge, and when the person digests his anger, when injustice and zulm has been done upon him, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes revenge. Therefore, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, on one occasion he was sitting and somebody was going on and on swearing him or talking bad about him. Now, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and which of us is like Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala? And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam kept sitting. He didn't say anything. After some time, when Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala responded by saying something also, immediately Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam got up and went away. So he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, when this person was talking so much about me bad, in which of course there was no truth, then at that time you didn't say anything. But the moment I began to respond, you walked away. He said, yes, Abu Bakr, when you were silent, at that time an angel was responding on your behalf. When you were silent, the angel was responding on your behalf. And now when you started responding, the angel went away, so I too went away. And Shaitan came in. Now these were great people. Of course we must never think that Islam is a religion where you keep on showing your left cheek if they give one slap on your right. Here I'm talking about the individual level, where it's fights and arguments between brothers and sisters, family members, in the society, over little things, trivial things, where every person wants to show that I am the one whose voice must be heard. So now here, Islam allows that if injustice has been done to somebody, you can seek revenge, or you can avenge it up to the extent that you have been harmed. It is permissible. Doesn't mean that you have to overlook and forgive and forget everything. But we are talking about the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in most of those instances, no great injustice has been done to us. So now at this stage we are looking at our local level and our individual level. We are not talking about what is happening in the world and the injustices and what should the Muslims be doing. But here let us put our own house in order. As I gave you that incident, that over such a trivial matter, talaq. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told to him. Hazrat Imam Zainul Abidin rahmatullah alayhi, he was walking and somebody swore him and started calling him all kinds of names and labeling him. All false accusations. Hazrat Imam Zainul Abidin rahmatullah alayhi, he had a shawl on his shoulders. Woolen shawl, must have been winter time. Expensive one. So he took it out and gave it to him as a hadiah. And then gave him another 100 dirhams on top of that as hadiah. So the people of intelligence, they said that by this action, Hazrat Imam Zainul Abidin rahmatullah alayhi, this is what he has achieved. First of all, he has silenced this person for all times. This person, he has silenced him now for all times. You think this person will now ever swear him and curse him and talk bad about him? Because he spoke bad about him, he gave him an expensive shawl plus he gave him hadiah. Of another 100 dinars or dirhams. He said he has silenced him. Second thing, that he has now restrained him from committing sins of a very severe nature. Because when he is talking bad of someone and is making false accusations, and when he is slandering, then it is major sins. But in this way, by silencing him, now he has kept him away from those major sins. So he has done a great favor to him. And so many other things that he achieved, I'm not going into details. So you can see again the response. What beautiful response. Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala, in the tafsir of this ayat which I recited, idfa' billati hiya ahsan. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Repel, I'm just giving the meaning of it, explanation of it. That repel evil with good. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. It's something that's better. Repelling evil with evil, what are we going to achieve? If the person sways us and we sway him, his wife, his children, his father and his grandfather, will we achieve anything? So he says, repel it with good. Then what will happen? What will be the result of this, repelling evil with good? If we are going to show our akhlaq and not give vent to our anger and our emotions, I'm talking again on the individual level and each and every one of us and in our families and everywhere. If we are going to do that which is better, or give that which is better, or respond with that which is better, then what will be the consequence? That person between whom and you, if there is enmity, dislike, hatred, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that person will become like your bosom friend. Will become like your intimate friend. But only those people who have got sabr, and those people who are very fortunate, they are the ones who can achieve this. So we should always look at, as I said, the broad picture. That we are Muslims, we are ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we take his name. So we should look at his character, that how did he respond? Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Tanvi Rahmatullah Ali, in a huge gathering there was when he was just about to deliver the talk, a person stood up and he said that you are not an alim, you are a jahil, and you are a kafir, and you are a harami, illegitimate. Now imagine a sheikh of the time, with his thousands of murids there in that majma, and this is what a person stands up and says. So what kind of anger must have gripped all those that were there, who were his supporters? But he told all of them, you keep quiet. He has addressed me, I will respond to it. Nobody must take any revenge or say anything or do anything. And then he said that with regards to your first objection that I am a jahil, then I agree with you. I myself have never claimed that I'm an alim. Look at his humility. Great alim like his. He says, I never claim that I'm a great alim. People call me an alim. But I don't claim that. So if you say I am jahil, I agree with you. With regards to your second objection that I'm a kafir, so then I read before you, Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. The whole congregation is a witness that I have testified and I believe in none but one Allah and in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his messenger. So that is sufficient for your next objection. And as far as the third one, that I am a harami and illegitimate, the witnesses to my father's marriage to my mother are still living and I can produce them for you. Ah, what kind of things people told our Buzrugs and our Kabir, our great walis. But look at the response. What would we have done? As a Shabi Rahmatullah Ali, on one occasion a person told him a lot of things. He said that if you are right in what you are saying, if you are right and correct in what you are saying, that I am a bad person and I've got these type of weaknesses and shortcomings and evil actions in my life, if it is right and correct, then may Allah Ta'ala forgive me. It wasn't right. We know that it was wrong. That person was just making a mockery, or the person was just slandering. But still he says that if you are right in what you are saying about me, then Allah Ta'ala must forgive me. And if you are wrong, and you are slandering and you are making false accusations, then Allah Ta'ala must forgive you. Because if He doesn't forgive you, you will go into the fire of Jahannam. One person was sitting in the Haram Sharif and his money got stolen from his pocket, some dinars. Those days the coins were dinars. So he started tearing. So the one sitting next to him, he said, "Why are you tearing? Because your dinar got lost." He said, "No, I'm not tearing because of that. But I'm tearing that this person on the day of Qiyamah, he will stand before Allah Ta'ala. What answer will he give? And he will have to go to Jahannam. So my anger is over there. That he didn't even think of the consequence of his stealing." So he said, if you are right, then Allah Ta'ala must forgive me. And if you are wrong, then Allah Ta'ala must forgive you. And that is the tafsir that Hazrat Anas ibn Malik made of this ayat which I recited. That the person says in response that what you are telling about me, if you are right, Allah Ta'ala forgive me. And if you are wrong, Allah Ta'ala forgive you. Finish. Where there can be an argument left after that. But because of outside pressures, pressure in the business, pressure in the economic world that we live in, and all the other pressures, political pressures, this pressure, that pressure, what is happening is that we cannot tolerate, we cannot digest our anger, we just want to give vent, we want to argue, we want to fight, we want to quarrel, and it ends up, as I explained earlier, that how many marriages are breaking down because of that. So let us look at our own weaknesses, our shortcomings. The moment we get angry, then we look at ourselves. How much of our weaknesses and shortcomings and faults and sins Allah Ta'ala has concealed. If He has to expose that, or He has to give azab and punishment and become angry over us, then what would it lead to? So these are the things that will make us calm, and it will make us tolerate, it will make us understand. Because the moment the person is going to give vent to his anger, he won't know where to stop. Or keep a mirror and straight away look at your face in the mirror. Somebody asked his wife, he said that, "Do you know what the face of Shaitan looks like?" The person asked his wife, "Do you know what the face of Shaitan looks like?" He said, "When you get angry, look at your face in the mirror." Exactly like that. The person was always getting angry, angry, angry. So he said, "When you get angry, then look at your face in the mirror. That's what Shaitan looks like. Why do I have to worry about what he looks like when I got one right in front of me all the time?" May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal. There are so many incidents, the books of history, books of Hadith Sharif, filled with so many incidents. And wallah, our life will become more peaceful, more happy. For that little while, that anger will be there. But if we don't give vent to it, we just move away, it will become easy after that. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems of the entire ummah around the globe. And the suffering of mankind. We must make dua for the suffering of mankind. Make dua, Allah Ta'ala give everybody hidayat. Because if Allah gives everybody hidayat, then our society, the whole nation will become peaceful. But first of all, we must put our house also in order. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.